All right.
Hi, Ira. We'll let you start today since you're the old man in the group.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. You got gray hair like I do.
Mike, talk about how, you know, some people point out you gave up 200 yards on the ground, what's going on, but you do have to, you know, when you commit more resources to stopping a Julio Jones, Mike, sometimes something has to give a little bit. Talk about how the ripple effect of taking their best player out of the game.
Well, the first thing, guys, that we did not do very well in the run game, whether you got resources where you're rolling up or doubling or coning or whatever we were trying to do with Julio, everybody still has a gap that you have to be responsible for. And we got out of our gaps, especially in the second half of the ball game. And when the running back gets to the second level, we didn't tackle as well as we needed to. So it was a gap, you know, it was a gap control issue. You know, we made a commitment that we were going to not play a whole lot of eight-man spacing, that we wanted to make sure that we were going to try to keep the pass game to a minimum, not have them throw it over our head. I thought we got that accomplished. Unfortunately, we did not play the run very well, and it was more about gap integrity on the first level. And then when it got to the second and third level, we were not tackling as well as we needed to.
Integrity still such an issue for you guys this year? It didn't seem like it was as much of an issue last year. Or is it just because you have a bye?
Yeah, we have not played the run consistently, just like we haven't played the run or the pass consistently all season. You know, there's, I can think of three games where we've had close to 200 yards rung up on us, and it comes down to everybody's responsible for a gap. And when you're not in your gap and the back was able to roll back and get into that gap, it's to the second level. And that's been the story of what we've, you know, what we've done this year in terms of the negative things. We haven't been very consistent in anything that we've done. And when you're not holding your gap, good running teams are going to be able to run the football on you.
I mean, obviously, I think if you knew why, you know, it'd be something you could correct. But, I mean, do you think a lot of that has to do with just having new bodies in there? I mean, even earlier on in the season, you know, Hargraves was going from the outside, like the Arizona game, and then later on you moved him to nickel, and so that changes things there because he's responsible there for sealing that
off. Yeah, well, there's all kinds of moving parts in a season and in a game, and you can't let who's playing and who's not playing be a crutch for an excuse. You know, we all have a job to do, and whoever we have out there, we've got out there, and we've got to make sure that we put them in the best place and try to get them to make sure that they're going to be responsible for what they need to do. You know, I'm not going to throw darts at anybody in terms of why. We just haven't been very consistent. We have a lot of changing parts, but every team in this league has changing parts. Like I've said many times, guys, there's no excuse in this league. There's one way you're judged, and that's by how many times you get the W and how many times you get the loss.
But I mean, Gerald McCoy and Levante David, I mean, starting the game without those guys, plus, you know, losing other guys during the game, I know the what-ifs don't matter, but do you even allow yourself when you watch that film to think, you know, would it have made a difference in a three-point game like that?
No, you can't, because it's all, you know, it's just speculative. The guys that you've got are the guys that you got, and you got to go out there and play. They're not going to delay the game so a couple guys can get healthy, unfortunately. And you know, hey, you, as a coach, you always sit back and you say, hey, we're going to stop them no matter who we've got out there. And you've got to have that mentality. And unfortunately, we haven't been consistent with whoever we've had out there.
Mike, it looks like Cam has his good buddy Greg Olsen back.
Oh yes, he does. Real good buddy. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I mean, he's such a, I mean, Cam relies on him a lot in that passing game that Carolina does. What makes him, I mean, is it a hard matchup, obviously, but if he's zoned, he just has a way of finding those empty spaces.
Yeah, he's an 11-year vet that has a savvy way of getting open. He reminds me of a guy that I coached in Atlanta in a lot of ways. Probably doesn't run as fast as a lot of tight ends in this league, but every time he goes out and plays, you look up and he's got seven catches, eight catches. He's got a real good understanding of zone defenses, and he has a real good understanding of body control when you're in man coverage. You know, we are fortunate that he did not play when we played him earlier in the season. It is a completely different dynamic now that he is back. I anticipate that Cam will be looking his way quite a bit. I know he's a tough get or a tough out for us.
It looks like, is it just the time of year, or is Cam now just, they're calling runs for him more with more spread option, or just more, is he just taking it upon himself to just run the ball?
Oh, I don't think he's taking it upon himself. I think, Mike Shula does a great job with their offense, and, you know, he's arguably their best running back on the team. I don't mean to take anything away from the guys that don't receive the snap that do run the ball. But, he's a big, strong guy, and oftentimes in defenses you're not always accounting for the quarterback. And, you have to do that when you're playing the Carolina Panthers. They are running him more. He's their leading rusher in terms of average. So he's a guy that we've got to make sure we can get him on the ground and have guys that are going to be shadowing him on certain defensive calls.
Coach, part of the conversation when Cam first got in the league was keep him in the pocket, have him beat you inside the pocket. Over the years, because you've seen him so much, how much has that changed?
Well, he's such an athletic guy. When he's allowed to use his athleticism, that's where he truly is, I think, a step above everybody. And when I mean everybody, there's not a quarterback that has the same type of skill set. And he's a very good quarterback in the pocket. I think he has developed into a guy that can spin the ball if he has to. But I still think his strength is the things that he can do when he has designed runs, or he can ad lib and extend plays, because he's got a cannon for an arm. He can throw the ball 65 yards down the field.
Doing with McCaffrey now, that's getting him more involved in the run and pass game?
They're doing a very good job of moving him around, Rick, into different spots. They've got him lining up as a true running back. They have him lining up as wide receivers. Then he motions back into the backfield, or he starts in the backfield and motions out. In the game last week against the Packers, in the first 15 plays, he was probably targeted over 60% of the time, where he was the primary target or was the ball carrier. So he's having a great year. So I think he's got 73 catches, and he runs the ball. He's probably more effective as a runner when he's on the perimeter, and the way that they do things with their motions and different formations. He's an issue. I mean, he's a he's a tough guy to defend, because you don't know where he's going to be. He can catch the ball, and he's got good vision when he gets out on the perimeter.
Those three guys, and it's pretty much you got it, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then you got Funchess. That's a matchup issue as well. He's a big guy that uses his body. He's got a great catching radius. They've got some. They're a good team. It's not a surprise with what their record is that they got a lot of players that are playing well this year.
Coach, Quan Alexander and Gerald McCoy both said in the locker room today that, number 54 was really a glaring omission when the Pro Bowl rosters came out. Can you talk about Levante and what he's meant to this team, and if you agree with that, that you feel that he's had a year that warrants a Pro Bowl?
I think that he's had an outstanding year. The Pro Bowl, there's always going to be someone that is going to be left out. But in my mind, he's had a Pro Bowl year. He's without a doubt had a year for us in terms of his productivity, in terms of attacking the ball. I think that no one has ever in league history done what he's done in terms of taking the ball away and recovering it. And unfortunately, in this time of the year, there's going to be guys that are well-deserving, and there's not probably anybody in my mind that's more deserving to be on the Pro Bowl than Levante David.
There are 5 forced fumbles this year, 5 fumble recoveries. In the last 10 years, there's been 2 players that have matched the 5 fumble recoveries in one season. I mean, why? What makes him so good at being able to jar the ball loose, and not just that, but having the wherewithal to be able to scoop it up or to fall on top of it?
He works at it. In practice, he's always attacking the football. We do drills. I know that Coach Duffner, every day, we have some type of takeaway drill that we work on. And there's a certain knack. He's got a feel for it. He's focused on it. And the great thing is that he's also able to bring the guy down. There's, you know, he's not just going haphazardly trying to force a fumble. He's going in there to secure the tackle and punch it out. And he uses the techniques that Coach Duffner's been teaching him, and they've been working on.
The best that you worked with?
Absolutely. You know, I know there was a time Peanut Tillman had you know, a knack for doing it there in Chicago. But this is to see the, you know, five forced fumbles and five recoveries in one season. That's off the charts. And, you know, we're glad we've got him. You know, when he's not in there, it's definitely not the same defense that we would have when he was out there playing.
Coach, from your time in Atlanta when you were head coach there toward the end, can you speak to how difficult it is to coach when there's all this hot seat talk for your job locally and in national media, you know, with Dirk dealing with some of that right now?
Don't take this the wrong way, okay? You know, when you're a coach, you only focus on one thing. You focus on what's happening from day to day in football operations. You know, you don't have time to waste energy on anything but what you have to get done each week. And each week it's a completely different set of issues and a completely different set of circumstances. And if you for 1 minute take away time for your preparation, then you're not doing your team the best.
Hey, Mike, Vernon Hargraves went on IR, and, you know, that's kind of the story of this year with the games he's missed. But what do you think his future is, and just how, you know, do you see players that will come into the league, first-round pick, a tough first half, good first second half, and then half a year like this? Is it about how they come back, what their mindset is? What do you think his return will be?
I think Vernon has a great mindset. He's been working his tail off to get back out on the field. You know, he took, you know, the position change very, very well. He was a great teammate. He embraced it, and he played well when he was inside. He did some really good things for us, not only in the pass game but in the run game. And it's unfortunate that he hasn't been able to be out there to help us play at the level that we need to play at. I think the future is very bright for Vernon, both inside and outside. And when you have flexibility at the corner position, I think it's a positive thing. And I think he's a guy that's going to be a really good player. We just unfortunately didn't get an opportunity here in the second half of the season to have him out there helping us play defense.
You still think he can be outside as well?
Absolutely, I do. I think that he's got a good feel for playing the inside, but I think he can play outside. He has. I think he's got a better understanding of what we're defending when you're outside. It's a completely different game out there, and he's got the mental makeup to let things roll off his back, because when you play corner, you know, it's like being the quarterback. Everybody sees your mistake. You know, someone that's not a football fan will easily say, oh, well, that guy made the mistake there most times.
Mike, when you're in a killer division like this, and that could send three teams to the playoffs, people wouldn't be surprised this year if that happens. And they're led by these quarterbacks with MVP awards. At least one of them's going to Hall of Fame, and you're facing them twice every year, you know, Mike. So that priority about either putting them on their back or making them uncomfortable, I mean, can there be any higher priority from a Buck perspective, knowing you're going to face these guys all the time going forward?
Well, I've said this for years. I think this division is, from top to bottom, has got the best quarterback play in the NFL. There's not any division that's even close, in my opinion. And every week you're going to go out and you're going to have your hands full when you're playing within the division. And that's six games out of the season. And, you know, to allow a quarterback to have a comfort level that plays at the level that the guys in this division do, it's hard. But you've got to work together in terms of front and back end. And, you know, it's all about having the quarterback uncomfortable, because those three that we play two times a year, if they're comfortable, they're going to slice you up. And it doesn't really matter what you're doing. You know, you might catch them on a bad day, and they're still gonna have a good day by other people's standards.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.